This week's story, The Black Guardsman of Braddock Castle.
Holmes, it's black as pitch down here. You say we're in the lower dungeon of the castle?
Quite, and below sea level, too. Note how cold and clammy these stone walls are, Watson.
Yes, well, they're no colder and clammier than my flesh. I don't like it, Holmes, I don't like it at all. Prowling through a deserted castle, stalking a medieval apparition, a legendary ghost.
It happens to be the other way around, Watson.
Huh? What do you mean?
The ghost is stalking us. Listen.
So once again we raise the familiar brass door knocker of Dr. John Watson.
Well, 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 Mr. Harris, come in, sir. Come in and warm yourself by the fire.
Thank you. I see you're deep in your memoirs, as usual, Dr. Watson.
Yes, yes. In fact, I've just completed a strange and terrifying case in which Holmes and I were involved in the West Country. Cornwall, to be exact.
Yes. What's it called, Dr. Watson?
The Black Guardsman of Braddock Castle. And I must say, Mr. Harris, that to this day, the very recollection of it is enough to disturb the uneasy realm of my sleep. Perhaps you'd like to hear it.
Why, we most certainly would, Doctor.
Well, to begin with, Braddock Castle had been empty and deserted for 50 years. It stood on an island off the rugged Cornish coast just north of St. Michael's Mount, and a devilish, gloomy, and forbidding place it was. The natives of the region gave this architectural monstrosity of gray parapets and towering battlements a wide berth, for reasons which I shall relate later. But one sunset, two fishermen were rowing their boat just off the island, heading for the mainland.
What is it, John?
Hold up with the oars.
Why, what's up?
Hold up with the oars, I say. There's something floating on the water here.
Great, Peter.
It's a body. A human body. And fair waterlogged, too. With naught but the legs showing above and the rest underwater.
Oh, great Peter.
Here, Herbert. Give me a hand now. We'll pull him into the boat.
Aye.
Easy now. He's steady, does it? Hold his legs down. Drag him over. You should see who this poor beggar might be, Herbert.
John! Oh, John, look!
Aye.
There's no head on him. The beggar hasn't got a head. Oh, it's cut clean off. Lord bless us, it's... Herbert,
look!
Where?
On the North Tower. Yonder on Braddock Castle.
John, it's him. It's him.
Aye, curse him. Standing there, black against the red sun, with his axe on his shoulder, looking down at us and laughing at his work.
He's done it again. The Black Guardsman of Braddock Castle. He swung his axe again.
Well, Watson, in a very few minutes we shall be in Whitecliff on the mainland directly across from Braddock Castle.
And after that, Holmes?
After that, we shall repair to the Green Lion Inn and ascertain from Lady Eleanor Wincroft the strange contents of her long telegram.
Well, I thought it was quite clear.
Rubbish,
Holmes.
Watson. It was written with a fine feminine disdain for logic. All we can gather is that her brother, Sir Alastair Wincroft, last lineal male descendant of the Earl of Braddock, was found floating on the water of his ancestral castle with his head severed from his torso.
Sounds like an intriguing and rather sinister business, Holmes.
Quite. But odd itself not enough to force me to leave my comfortable quarters at Baker Street and endure this tedious trip to Cornwall.
Then, in heaven's name, what possessed you to leave in such great haste? Why are we aboard the Southern Railway now?
Because of the legend of Braddock Castle. You're aware of it, Watson?
Oh. Vaguely, something about a ghost, wasn't it?
Almost every English castle has a favorite apparition, Watson. But this one is particularly bizarre. It seems that the castle originally belonged to a family named Wexley, who, like most good Cornishmen, supported the Lancastrians during the Wars of the Roses. Eventually, it was attacked by John Wincroft, Earl of Braddock, in 1497, and every defender wiped out. Every defender, mind you, but one.
All but one, eh?
This last defender was a guardsman dressed in black mail and carrying a huge battle axe. From the topmost tower, he swore that his ghost would walk the castle and bring violent death to every Wincroft who dared to inhabit it. After that, he flung his great battle axe down among his tormentors and leaped to his doom.
Good Lord, Holmes. You're not inferring that this ghostly axeman chopped Sir Alistair's head from his body.
I'm inferring nothing until I see Lady Wincroft, Watson.
Mr. Holmes, I'm very grateful to you and Dr. Watson for journeying all the way down from London.
There's no trouble at all, Lady Wincroft, no trouble at all.
On the contrary, Watson, I found it a most unpleasant journey. However, Lady Wincroft, perhaps the challenge of this rather bizarre situation may provide us with all the compensation we need. Now then, a few questions.
Of course, Mr. Holmes.
I do not wish to appear rude. However, I must ask that you make your answers brief, precise, and above all, accurate. We shall get to the heart of the matter so much the sooner. You will bear with me in this, Lady Wincroft?
I shall do my best, Mr. Holmes.
Good. Now, to begin with, have the official police been notified?
Oh, yes. The local authorities have already telegraphed Scotland Yard.
Well, in that case, Holmes, I suppose Inspector Lestrade will appear in due course, huh?
Quite. Now then, Lady Wincroft. 2 weeks ago, your brother Alistair crossed the bay to the castle. He took no companion but went alone. In the interval, nothing was heard from him until last night when he was taken from the water. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Holmes.
Why did he undertake this special journey?
Frankly, Mr. Holmes, our family has suffered, well, severe financial reverses. It became to our interest to sell the castle, but under the circumstances...
I see. Under the circumstances, no purchaser would be interested as long as the legend persisted.
Rather an expensive nuisance, this medieval guardsman, eh, Lady Wincroft?
Yes. It was Alistair's idea to prove this legend nonsense, to rout the ghost, so to speak.
Hmm. Unfortunately, this apparition has heightened its own prestige in cruel and telling fashion. Now, Lady Wincroft, you'll forgive me if I ask you a personal and perhaps a rather painful question.
Yes, Mr. Holmes?
I don't mean to pry, but I have a curious mind. It seems odd to me that you show no grief over your brother's death. May I ask why?
Oh, Holmes, I don't think...
Please do not interrupt, Watson. Well, Lady Wincroft?
I had not seen Alistair since he was a boy. He dissipated what was left of our fortune at the gaming tables. Perhaps I sound callous. But it was he who was responsible for our present difficulty.
And where has Sir Alistair been all these years?
Oh, in Africa for the most part, somewhere on the Gold Coast. It was only very recently that he appeared here in Whitecliff with the idea of selling Braddock Castle.
I see. Come, Watson, let's be off.
Well, where are we going, Holmes?
To the mortuary, of course, to examine the torso of the little lamented Sir Alistair.
Remarkable, Holmes, remarkable. A clean and terrible amputation worthy of a surgeon's skill. You know, I don't... Holmes. I say Holmes.
Yes, Watson.
You're not even looking at the place where the head...
I'm not interested in the head, Watson. It's the man's hands that tell the story.
His hands?
Yes. Observe, Watson. Here is the signet ring of his family. But note the fingernails, and particularly the black substance beneath them.
Ordinary dirt, it appears to me.
Rubbish, Watson. If it were dirt, the action of the water would have cleansed it from the nails days ago. No, that black substance is tar.
Tar? But what the deuce does that have to do?
Come, Watson, you and I got to cross the bay to Braddock Castle and try to flush our ghostly quarry.
Oh, you mean tomorrow, of course.
On the contrary, Watson, I mean tonight.
I don't like it, Holmes. I don't like it at all. Growing dead ahead into this beastly fog, we should have sighted Braddock Castle by now.
Patience, Watson, patience.
Of course, this whole guardsman legend is sheer poppycock. The castle's been deserted and empty for 50 years.
I wonder.
Holmes, you don't mean to say you believe a ghost...
No, Watson, I'm interested in seeing whether the castle has a bona fide tenant of more recent vintage and... Hello, what's this in the water?
I don't see anything.
Look closer, Watson. It's oil slick.
What of it?
Interesting. This happens to be a region where motor-powered craft never come.
There it is, dead ahead. Braddock Castle. You see it through that rift in the fog?
Yes. Unpleasant-looking place, isn't it?
As bleak and forbidding a fortress as I've ever seen.
Observe, Watson. The mist seems to be swirling away from the parapets now. Very soon we'll... Watson, look.
Where?
On the topmost tower.
Great heavens, it's him. The Black Guardsman of Braddock.
It is indeed.
Look at him, Holmes, look at him. Standing there with his great axe over his shoulder, watching us.
As though waiting to welcome us. Eh, Watson? Watson, there's Braddock Castle just across the moat. You've secured the boat firmly?
Yes, Holmes, I have.
Note that our good friend the guardsman has left the drawbridge down, an open invitation for us to cross. Very considerate of him, don't you think?
Too considerate.
And there seems to be a small door at the other end of the drawbridge. The moon's coming out now, and I can see it plainly. Come, Watson, we'll cross over and investigate it.
Well, he seems to have disappeared from his watchtower above. Probably watching us from somewhere inside the castle, Holmes. I only wish I'd brought my service revolver from London.
Too late for that now. Hello, here's the door.
Probably locked.
On the contrary, Watson, it's open.
Holmes, I don't like it. This mysterious medieval apparition doesn't make sense.
I beg to differ, Watson. We're dealing with a rare intellect playing a sinister game to the finish.
Yes, but the drawbridge down, this open door, he seems to be inviting us in.
Precisely, into what he hopes is a trap.
Good heavens, Holmes! The drawbridge is going up behind us.
Quite.
That means he's cut off our line of retreat.
Yes, and in that case, Watson, we'll just have to accept the guardsman's invitation. Come, let's see what lies beyond this door.
And now to return to our story, Dr. Watson.
Well, as I told you, Mr. Harris, Holmes and I opened that small door at the end of the drawbridge leading into the lower depths of Braddock Castle. The very air was foul with the musty smell of centuries, and it was dark as the black hole of Calcutta. I could feel the hackles rise on the back of my neck, standing there in that eerie place. But Holmes was his usual self, as cold as ice. I say, Holmes.
Shh, Watson, listen. Hear anything?
No.
Then let us proceed. This seems to be a narrow passageway of some kind. Stay close to me, Watson.
My dear fellow, I'm so close now, I'm breathing down your neck. Holmes, can't we light a match?
Out of the question.
But it's pitch dark.
Quite.
And there may be a pit or some floor trap ahead.
The chance we'll have to take.
But, Holmes,
I repeat, Watson, it's out of the question. We can't afford to reveal our whereabouts to our phantom friend.
If you ask me, the blighter already knows it.
What's the matter, Watson?
Oh, the place is filled with spider webs, thousands of them.
Yes. Proves no one's passed through here lately. Note, Watson, how this passageway slopes downward.
Oh, I'd give £100 to know where it leads to right now.
What is it, Watson?
Oh, Holmes.
Speak up, man.
I just ran into a spider web head on.
Oh, calm yourself, Watson. Spider webs won't hurt you.
Perhaps not, but dash it all, there was a big spider in the middle of this one. Holmes, let's get out of here.
In a moment, Watson, in a moment. There's a means of egress here. Those stone steps at the other end of the room. Apparently, we're below sea level. Observe how cold and clammy these stone walls are.
Yes, well, they're no colder or clammier than my flesh. I don't like this at all, Holmes. I don't like it at all. Prowling through a deserted castle, pursuing some medieval apparition.
It happens to be the other way around, Watson.
Oh, what do you mean?
Listen.
Holmes, the Black Guardsman.
Undoubtedly.
He seems to be waiting. Good heavens, someone screamed. Holmes, what the devil?
No time to talk now. Quick, Watson, up those stone steps. Hurry, Watson. That scream came from somewhere in this corridor.
Well, I'm not as young as I used to be, Holmes. Hold on.
What is it, man?
I believe I just stumbled over a body.
If you did, it's undoubtedly Sir Alistair Wincroft.
Sir Alistair, but he was found dead in the bay.
Rubbish, Watson. I'll venture to say this is Sir Alistair. Here, let's have a light and we shall see.
Yes, here we are. Good Lord. What a ghastly sight.
Yes. The Black Guardsman of Braddock Castle has bloodied his axe again.
But how do you know...
Sir Alistair, a quick search should prove it. Ah, yes. Here's the man's wallet. Identification papers. Look for yourself, my dear Watson.
Let me see. By Jove, it is Lady Eleanor's brother.
Quite.
But who was the man they fished up out of the bay?
Anonymous, Watson, but a sailor, certainly. The man's hands were rough and there was tar under the fingernails, a sure sign of the nautical trade. It was obvious that the hands of the headless corpse were not those of a gentleman.
Yes, but this sailor...
Think, Watson, think an elementary connection stares you in the face. You recall the oil slick in the bay? From this point, we may deduce that...
Holmes, there he goes again.
elusive beggar, isn't he, Watson? But with a pronounced tread, far removed from the ethereal. Follow me.
Oh, where are we going?
Up these stairs. Unless I miss my guess, they lead to the main hall and perhaps to the Black Guardsman.
Well, Holmes, you were quite right. This is the main hall of the castle. You can see by the moonlight filtering in through the windows.
Quite.
And Holmes, what the devil are you peering at the floor for?
Dust. Its telltale granules have marked the path of many a criminal to the gallows. Aha! Capital, capital.
What is it?
Observe, Watson, footprints. The floor's covered with them in the thick dust. And very peculiar they are, too.
Peculiar in what way?
Use your eyes, man, use your eyes. It's obvious. These footprints were made by bare feet.
Bare feet? Holmes, that doesn't make sense.
On the contrary, Watson, it does. It makes very good sense indeed. Fascinating. Fascinating, these impressions in the dust. Note, Watson, coming in from the direction of the main hall door, they're vague, shuffling, not clear at all. Note, too, they weave from side to side as though their barefooted owners were somewhat intoxicated.
Well, what does that signify, Holmes?
It's very clear. It shows that each of these barefooted men was carrying a heavy burden which caused them to stagger and shuffle erratically. On the return journey, the prints are quite clear.
You mean somewhere up those stairs, these barefooted men disposed of their burden?
Precisely. And if we follow them, Watson, I think we shall find some sort of large room and perhaps some immensely valuable loot peculiar to the continent of Africa.
Africa? Holmes, what the deuce?
Follow me, Watson. In a very short time, I hope to gratify your curiosity and dissipate your bewilderment. Here we are, Watson. Just as I told you.
Yes, you're quite right. Those dust prints lead directly into this large room.
Yes. And observe, Watson, what are standing in rows against the far wall.
Good Lord, Holmes. It's ivory, tusks of ivory, hundreds of them.
Precisely. Brought in on ocean-going boats in the dead of night by native crews, as the bare footprints here indicate. A fortune in tusks brought across Africa by slave caravans, loaded on the beaches of the Gold Coast and then transported here.
By Jove, then Braddock Castle is being used as a staging point for smuggling ivory into England.
Exactly. Naturally, it was to the interest of the devilishly clever intellect who concocted this scheme to heighten the illusion of the Black Guardsman of Braddock Castle. Above all, what was needed was privacy. Hence the headless bodies, the appearance of the apparition upon the battlements in full regalia.
But Sir Alistair, what of him?
Ah, yes. At first, Watson, knowing his African and Gold Coast background, I'd rather suspected that he was the master of this ring. Now, however, I know that there's someone else.
Yes, but who? Who is responsible for all this?
Only a master criminal of supreme shrewdness could operate this kind of smuggling game on such a grand scope, Watson. A man worthy of my own mettle. A protagonist of almost superhuman cunning.
Holmes! It's the guardsman again.
Yes, he's running up those stairs leading to the tower. Here, Watson. Seize a weapon and give me one.
Right, you are.
Thank you. These swords will do. Let's set out after him.
By Jove, Holmes, it looks as though this time we may meet him face to face.
If our friend the guardsman is who I think he is, that'll be useless. He happens to be a man of a thousand faces. Come, Watson, to the chase.
He seems to have eluded us, Holmes. We've come all the way up the tower stairs to the outside battlement here.
He's probably hidden in one of those side rooms we observed on the way up, Watson.
Look, Holmes. Now the drawbridge is down.
Yes. The guardsman has already arranged for his own retreat, it seems.
Well, Holmes, perhaps we'd better leave the castle by any means we can and summon the official police.
No, my dear fellow. We have our man close by somewhere, and I hope to meet him.
But he's armed with a great axe, Holmes. These swords would be of little use against a
weapon.
Come,
Watson, let's go downstairs and examine the side rooms along the tower stairs, one by one. Perhaps we may soon flush our quarry.
Really, Holmes, sometimes you can be deuced stubborn. The odds are against us. Not that I quail from odds. At the fatal battle of Maiwand against the Jezail devils, Holmes!
Yes, it's our old friend again, Watson. And this time we come to the end of our chase.
But he's below us now, on the tower stairs.
Quiet.
Then we're trapped up here on the tower battlement.
Quiet, Watson, listen.
Holmes,
He's coming up the tower steps, directly toward us.
Obviously.
But what can we do?
Wait.
Wait indeed. Wait for the great axe of the executioner. Holmes, look, there he is, coming out of the shadow, up the stairs.
Good evening, Holmes. Dr. Watson.
We meet again. Eh, Professor Moriarty?
Moriarty?
Oh, come, Moriarty, we're old antagonists and we may speak freely. I rather suspected that a swindle of this magnitude was worthy only of a man of your talents.
Very observant, my dear Holmes.
Thank you, Professor.
You're also an infernal nuisance. You've caused me no end of trouble, you and the good doctor, in this, my latest enterprise. I presume you know all about it.
I do.
In that case, I must remove you both from this mortal coil. The Black Guardsman of Braddock must keep the castle inviolate, eh? Two strokes of this axe, one for each of you, and the score is settled.
As you settled it with that sailor and with Sir Alistair, eh, Moriarty?
I needed my first mate to, to tell a ghost story, Holmes. As for Alistair, he was a fool. I found that our mutual enterprise suffered from his stupidity, therefore I removed him, as I must remove you.
Holmes, he's raising the axe.
Don't be a fool, Moriarty. If you throw that axe, you may decapitate one of us, but in that case you'll have to close with the other, and we're each armed with a sword.
A simple example in mathematics, eh, Holmes?
Quite.
Your theorem does not frighten me, Holmes. And for you, I reserve the first blow.
Mr. Holmes!
Watson, it's Inspector Lestrade.
What the devil?
Look out, Holmes! He's throwing the axe!
Missed me by a hair, Moriarty.
Mr. Holmes, Dr. Watson, where are you?
Up here in the tower, Inspector!
Watson, stop him! Stop Moriarty!
Good Lord, Holmes! He plunged over the battlement into the sea.
Mr. Holmes, you may safely leave the proceedings in my hands.
Indeed, Inspector Lestrade. And what further proceedings are there?
Oh, a number of things. Details that engage our attention before we can report this case closed.
Ah, I see. We.
First of all, we shall recover the body shortly, and then I shall take steps.
Rubbish, Inspector.
Huh?
You won't recover the body of this particular criminal.
Come now, Mr. Holmes. I give you credit for a fertile imagination and, indeed, a certain analytical talent, but we are dealing in the realm of fact here.
Pray proceed with your dissertation, my dear Inspector.
The man plunged from a high battlement to the sea below. He may have struck directly on these rocks or avoided them. It doesn't matter. He's most certainly dead, Mr. Holmes.
Is he, my dear Lestrade? Listen.
Listen. Listen to what? I hear nothing.
Don't you, Inspector?
By Jove, oars. Someone's rowing away from the island.
Quite.
It's impossible. It can't be.
Ah, yes, Inspector, but it is. That was Professor Moriarty. A man of many parts with a special genius for staying alive. Yes, Lestrade, he's done it once more. He's escaped me. But somewhere, someday, we shall meet again.
That was a thrilling case, Dr. Watson. And did Holmes and Moriarty meet again?
Indeed they did, Mr. Harris. Indeed they did. Holmes often called Moriarty the Napoleon of crime. Ah, yes, I'm afraid the professor was the only man that Sherlock Holmes really respected.
Well, I hope we meet the professor again, too, Dr. Watson. But now, how about a small hint on next week's story?
Next week, Mr. Harris, I think I shall relate to you the adventure of the Bruce Partington plan.
Well, that sounds very interesting, Dr. Watson.
I can assure you it is, Mr. Harris. It's a story of spies, international intrigue, and the stolen plans to a certain nautical machine on which hinged the fate of the British Empire.